Right now, the keys to success in opening a franchise version of Sun Food Sovereign: first, location. Providing an easy, accessible location for clients in association with the arts described in above mission statement. And the mission meaning to promote and incorporate holistic methods of healing mind, spirit through living foods, therapy, and association. Environment. Providing an environment conducive to giving relaxing, prompt, and courteous service. Convenience. Offering clients a wide range of healthy, nutritious living food alternatives in one setting with extended business hours. A reputation. Reputation of a knowledgeable owner and staff as providing superior personal service. Effective advertising, functional advertising, educational menu, flyers and business cards to accompany an internet website. So, branching off of these five components, we want to look at the demographics of the areas that we will be franchising in. You know, meaning looking at.
When I was picking up this book, read through all the chapters, the franchise restaurant aspect, I think that's one of the last chapters. So they read through like the ideas of what eating in the restaurant, raw food, eating food is. They read through like the instruments they need to cook. What is somebody looking for at a Sun Food Sovereign franchise? What is Sun Food Sovereign providing a franchisee?
Well, Sun Food Sovereign is, first of all, it's providing reputation of a knowledgeable owner and staff, you know. So like Sun Food, what the franchise is buying into is a prototype that has already been successful.
Okay.
You know, every franchisee is getting, you know, first dibs on an operation that was basically, the infrastructure itself is flawless.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And at the same time, it's providing the franchisee with the opportunity to provide the area and themselves with the highest grade food and information available.
What you said you need about three people that are interested in
this. Yeah, basically, each operation can run from three personnel. Let me get to that. One second. Hold on. Okay. The organizational structure. Our initial team will consist of the owner of the franchise and two part-time employees. One of the employees will be in charge of taking orders while maintaining the general ambiance in the restaurant. The other remaining employee will be in charge of order preparation and a cash register. Initially, in addition to these employees, the owner will be on-site full-time to assist with vacant positions. As our client base grows, we will add a store manager and two additional workers to accommodate split shifts. The owner will then become available to pursue networking and advertising options. We expect to have three employees by the end of the first year and six employees in total for years two and three.
Does this restaurant work like, can this work in like the country? Where is a restaurant like this most succeed? You spoke with people in a number of different cities.
See, remember that we're not going to limit our options to set up shop.
Right.
You know, so we're going to look at city options and we're going to look at out-of-city options. And the out-of-city options would be more bed and breakfast type setups, you know, more retreats. You know, people could come out, spend a couple of nights and get, you know, not only food service, but, you know, other holistic, you know, alternatives as well, like maybe massage therapy, aromatherapy, you know what I mean? And then if we set up operations outside of the city, you know, we can use them facilities more as training grounds for the staff, for the franchisee staff. So we can call the franchisees in. They can get a 7-day train, go through a 7-day they can basically go through a 7-day training program, you know, and we can look at those options. I think that the people that buy into the book, we should give them the option to set up in the city or out.
We want people to be able to set up basically wherever they're at.
Right.
So, like, to me, what kind of difficulties did you face? Like, as a vegan restaurant, like, where the people that bought the restaurant was strings, like, how does somebody deal with, like, versus steak, chicken, fish? Like, how does somebody mentally explain, like, the type of food they're creating? Because that's one of the biggest difficulties you had was explaining that, like, you know, it's all vegan food, like.
Yeah, the difficult part is creating the interest for people to try supplement or alternative foods, you know, because everybody's conditioned to taste and habit, you know. So general information, providing general information, at the same time samples of different food items, trying to cater to, you know, fundamental ideas that the clients may have centered around food. You know, so what I try to do is I try to create an alternative to things that is standard in the American diet, like pizza, like burger, like ice cream, like milks, like cakes. You know, things that'll draw people in, and then, you know, when it gets to the more complicated levels of the dietary practice, the clients can, you know, practice them as they learn about it. So I think effective marketing and information, man, is really just saturating, you know, the people that we're trying to reach with the right information.
In my head, I imagine, when we start the restaurant, things are going to be, like, amazing from the start. Like, you know, doesn't successful restaurant also depend on just having faith? Like, you're taking a chance. Like, this is basically getting involved in this type of restaurant business. Like, this isn't, there's a chance involved. And something you're willing to, like, to help somebody work through the challenges that somebody experiences when starting the restaurant is basically what the core of the book is. It's like, you're saying, this is what I did, it worked. I achieved success. I want to help you achieve success where I achieve success, because you don't want to see the information that you have just only reside with you. Like, you want to start proliferating what you know, what you know to be successful. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So walk somebody through, like day one, like you have the book, you read the book, you read through the chapter starting a restaurant, you want to get started, like, what do you start doing? Do you look for a partner first? Do you look for a location? Like, what are the logistics of getting something started?
I think it may be good to get a partner. It may be good to, you know, source somebody trustworthy you can talk about the plans with, source a commercial facility wherever you would want to set the operation up, source wholesale places to where you're going to get your materials, either online or in the local vicinity. Just put all the pieces for startup in place. You know, you want to, you know, get basic bank account, good accounting.
This is not a simple operation. Like, the rest of the direct, like, when I imagine, like, a juice bar, like, I can completely envision a juice bar. It might be because I don't prepare this type of food very often. But it seems like just the restaurant, like, it just seems like a lot more complicated. Like, you need more tools. You need a grocer, you need your tools, you need your location.
You need systems. You know, basically you need operating systems set up, you know, because everything is basically timing. Inconsistency. You know, we need systems set up to where inventory and material and merchandise is tracked.
Oh, I know a question I wanted to ask you. I've been asked a couple questions in regards to you. Like, how does somebody deal with, like, the FDA? like when starting a restaurant. Like,
FDA is simple.
Like the legalities of a restaurant. What kind of encounters or what kind of experience do you have with like the legalities?
There's no problem dealing with the FDA or, you know, getting licensed to sell food out of this area. You know, basically you just need stainless steel everything. You know, you just need a real clean environment, stainless steel, three components, compartment sinks, proper storage, and FDA is no problem.
Okay, so this is important information. I don't know anything about all this, but okay. You're going to have to talk about who is the FDA.
It's basically health department.
Okay.
You know, when you're looking to open up a restaurant facility, you got to get in touch with the health department. The health department sends someone out to assess the area. You get graded, pass or not pass, whatever. You don't pass the initial test, they'll tell you what you need to get done when the next inspection comes around. Last restaurant project I work on was Kicking the Grass. That was for Club Elements, and you know, we went through some things. You know, we had to get proper refrigeration. The sink was having some problems, so we couldn't really start up until the sinks, the ceilings, circulation, all those things come into play. So you just basically want to make sure your area is clean, you got stainless steel sinks, got stainless steel tables, proper storage and proper, you know, food package and everything. You know, and what I love is with Living Foods and Vegan Foods, it's a lot cleaner than, you know, your typical.
That's what I've been telling you, because if you don't have the blood, the bones, and the meat, that it's easier to get a passing grade when you're starting a vegan restaurant, it's easier to start a vegan restaurant because you're basically dealing with like water, fiber, and nutrients. Like that's what the majority of the foods are, just it's just like a fiber, water. And whereas with meat, it's like flesh, it's lots of different types of chemicals that can degrade and decompose and create poisons for other foods. Whereas with produce, it's not like that at all. In most cases, you don't even need refrigeration, really.
Right.
That seems like an easier method to get started than anything else. Why do you think the vegan lifestyle hasn't been promoted to like an earlier stage in like history? Like why historically? Because it's easier to be a vegan when not faced with the pressures of like the fast food industry? Like why wasn't this food style picked up on earlier? Like why aren't there more practitioners? Why aren't there more people practicing the vegan lifestyle?
I don't think there's not really more people practicing it. I think that it's hidden, you know. Since the early 70s, you know, early advent, you know, practitioners and wrote books and all type of retreats. But when you're looking at the Goliath of the system that we're facing, you know, a lot of people just, you know, got tired of advocating, you know, on a certain level. So they just take the practice into deal with themselves and their family. And I think that's the biggest dilemma, is the mass media and the propaganda and dealing with the toxic mind state of the people, you know what I mean? Like, people, they refuse to hear this message basically because they're in a toxic state, you feel what I'm saying? And they can't see outside of that toxic state, you know, because their toxic state is what stimulates them, you know, the burgers and the chicken and the fish, and it's all stimulation, you know what I'm saying? So, I think that may be a reason why more people are not on it. It's just because they're just in a toxic mental state.
No. One of the questions to ask, because a lot of the questions I have already been answered from the previous conversation, I feel like. Realistically, like the only thing left for the book that needs to be done, and we've got 30 pages, we've got 30 pages to translate to 60. The restaurant will probably give us another 10 to translate to 29, 6x9 book. So we're up to about 80 pages. And then with the reference resource, that'll have the book also, the restaurants really will kind of pad the book. Like, it's not, it's kind of outside of what we're talking about. That's just going to require rewriting, like, articles about different fruits and vegetables and this and that. Can you name, like, what are some of the best fruits? And, like, cashews, almonds, pumpkin seeds, peanuts, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds. Walnuts, and then various fruits and vegetables. There's a part of that. Do you want me to go into the exotic fruits and vegetables that I've never tasted or heard before, or do you want me to stick with just a core group of items that I've had access to, or because you probably tasted different.
So what was the original question?
When we're dealing with the reference material, which is going to be like the fruit section of nuts and seeds. Like, it's going to be, like an orange. I'm just going to write about an orange, and then like an apple. I'm going to write about an apple. I'm just going to say like apple. And then I'm going to write about it.
Okay, I got a good idea for it. I got an image to how we can do that section. We have color photos. We put apple. Then we'll put vitamin and mineral content. And then we'll put the enzyme function.
Okay.
You feel what I'm saying? And then we'll put things that apples are can help the health benefits of apples. Okay, so we'll do with each fruit and vegetable we'll do vitamin and mineral content, so it's vitamin A, D, K, E, whatever. Then we'll do enzyme content, whether it be pepsin, valine, or whatever the enzyme function is in it, because that's the most important part about consuming food raw. It's still enzyme active. Then after that, we can do the health benefits of apples, in different forms that apples come in that you can use. Like, if you eat apples, it helps the fiber help flush you out. If you drink apple juice, same benefit. Something like that.
Because the reference section might be a little difficult section, right? Because it's going to require time to do that, because it's going to be the same function for each of them, and it'll take some time. It's not going to be easy. Like, I can find the information, but then I have to rewrite information. It's going to be more research writing than just assimilation writing, which is what I'm doing for most of my life. I talk with you for an hour, 2 hours. And I go home and I write what I interpret from what you're saying. Whereas, like, with the reference manual, that's going to be, that's going to require just a little bit more time. But we should end up with about 100, 130. We have 30 now, 40, probably 50. About 100 pages. 100 pages.
Okay. So for that chapter 2, I need to start taking photos. I need to start getting photos of different fruits and vegetables. I got the list of all the fruits and vegetables we're going to use.
If you have it, because right now I'm looking at a large, if you have a predefined list that you want to use in the book, it just defines what you consider to be the healthiest. Otherwise,
this list right here is the world's healthiest foods.
Okay. It's full list.
It should have been the first this one. Okay, what's next?
Anything you want to add about the alchemy? I'd like to talk about what you think about when you're cooking. Like, when you see food, what do you see? Or what should somebody see when they see these foods? If you're training somebody to create their own recipes, like how do you train somebody to be able to create their own recipes?
How do you train somebody to create their own recipe?
Yes. Like if you're training somebody and just trying to give them insights, like if you see food differently than the typical person, like how do you transfer that mindset to somebody else so that somebody sees more of like an artist's palette instead of just like food? Like how does that change?
I don't know, man. It may take some thinking on how to answer that, because I never looked at that. I never looked at my perception of food versus everybody else's perception. It's like,
well, because you're training somebody, I have like one section of the book is like, I call it the alchemy section, because that's what you call,
yeah,
like what you do in the kitchen. Like, what do you call that process? Like, when you're creating a new recipe, what are you doing? Like, how do you start a new recipe? I mean, this is like a really basic, because like in my mind, like I imagine you. You just look, you're like, well, I got some walnuts, I got some spices.
Well, I think when we look at...
I want to hear how you talk about it.
When we look at the basic, people got to get familiar. That's the key, is to get familiar with as much food as you can, different herbs and spices. Because the alchemy, basically, the end effect of the alchemy is to have a good product and for it to be satisfying to the client. Or whatever. So, it's just gonna take some crash courses to get familiar with taste, consistency, you know, because that's what I look for, man. When I look at food, I think like, when I'm looking at food, man, I'm not looking at food. You know what I'm saying? I see medicine.
Okay.
You know, I see something that's gonna help.
Because I can see that as a way to start the chapter off. Like when you're cooking food, you're not looking at food. You're looking at medicine. Like that's,
yeah.
That's a transitional kind of mindset.
That's what I'm looking at overall. I'm looking at the healing properties of food, you know, and that's exclusively dealing with raw food, because raw foods are for healing. Like, I'm not against cooked food, you know, but I do advocate for 100% raw food if possible, or 80%, as much raw food as possible when it comes to basic healing and longevity.
Because you want there to be, out of all the restaurant operations and everything, you want there to be at least one restaurant that's just kind of like, okay, you're dealing with taste, we're dealing with health. Like, we're dealing with, like, the healing properties of food. Like, that is our sole core competence, and simply sovereign is... health comes second to taste, even though they both complement each other, because healthy food tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
Like truly healthy food, like not just truly, like not artificially created health food like diet soda, but like actual healthy food tastes good because the body's receiving it in a pure manner, and your body's ready to eat healthy food. Is that something?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know if you've seen this part, the competitive edge. Hold on, I'm going to go into the value proposition. Our value proposition is that we will provide nutrient-enhanced living. That you can start this, you can use this in that chapter, the alchemy chapter you're talking about.
Okay.
The value proposition is that we provide nutrient-enhanced living diet alternatives along with dietary counseling and hands-on food demonstrations to better aid the health entrepreneur individual in realizing the benefits of a plant-based diet to prolong life and well-being. It is important because health and information are the most crucial assets we have in combating all diseases of the mind, body, and spirit. The philosophy of Some Food Sovereign is that healthier human beings have the ability to work harder, concentrate better, feel physically, emotionally, and mentally balanced, and give that happiness back into their homes, workplace, and community. Simply put, our value proposition is that we help our community become a better place to live and work.
Okay.
marketing programs. As we work to complete this book, we are simultaneously working on our marketing plan because we are not new to the industry and have already established a customer base. The shift to our vision of customer and market both strategies is to anticipate continuation of a focused implementation prior to this transition. We have planned this shift carefully and we will implement it judiciously so as not to disrupt our immediate operations. We have budgeted for and we will utilize marketing advertisers and consultations and consultants in design for our marketing plan. Strategic alliances, specific sales programs will include in our new marketing plan. We will include this plan as they are finalized. In general, however, our sales program will be centered around information distribution analysis, direct mail, and placing an emphasis on the benefits live healing foods to revive the mind, body, and spirit. Number one, our comprehensive brochure will explain the full range of our products and services along with how these benefits our clients. So, on each site, each franchise has to have these specific guidelines, the marketing plan, the sales plan, same, the brochures, consultants on deck.
That sounds like that's everything that you're providing.
Yeah.
That needs to be in there.
Yeah. Basically, we're trying to clone my mind, myself, and what I've done into an entity that we can place anywhere.
Yeah.
I met some other of my colleagues yesterday. A lady from Gaia. She's the founder of Gaia. Ironically, she's from Russia. Her name is Dr. Vlaska. And she offered me a building some years ago when I first started doing this stuff. I never accepted. But when we get done, I definitely want to get her plugged in with the book because that may help with some of our marketing strategy. Our guiding principles are do as much as you can where you are and with what you have. That's what we're doing right now. People are inherently capable of making right decisions when properly informed. Okay, let's see, in addition to that, ambiance. The ambiance at a restaurant is important too. You know, you want that. You know, I got this thing, but you know, the first time people come in is the best impression. You got to make people want to stay, never want to leave. And I had that. You know, people came to the living room, nobody wanted to leave. You know, it was that comfortable. So in every operation, we want to have some type of lounge area or you know a place where it's a social arena. It's also a meditation arena. You know, it's also an information arena. You know, people, I mean, I had people come in, they'd get a juice, go sit down, read a book for a couple hours, come back up to the bar, get another juice and maybe a salad, then go back, sit down and read, get on the computer, come back and order another meal, you know, so we want to have it set up like that. You know, we don't want to just set up the typical restaurant, you know, you come, people get seated, go to a booth and, you know what I'm saying, we want to be liberal, you know, like a home type of environment.
Oh, I need it from you. I just need to hear you, like, talk about it. The only thing I think of recon is just the practicalities, but then the other thing I think about is that we can't really, that's what the consulting is for, because that's what the consulting is for, because, like, there's certain information is, like, case-by-case basis, like, that I can't write to every situation that I came up with. I want to write to a level where it's kind of, okay, you put your cash register here, and then you put put like your cups here, but like I can't really do that.
Right. That won't be necessary because, you know, that's when we start advancing with people that are actually interested in franchising. That's what architects or, you know, the person that's buying the franchise.
This is more like I want to get back to like this is more like inspirational material.
Mm-hmm. All we providing right now is inspiration, motivation.
To inspire, an inspirational story, like something that lifts the book is like, are you right?
Yeah.
You can twitch a little bit later. How did you get started with something soft? How did you come up with the phrase? Where did something soft come from? I think you already said it earlier. Like you said like that you have the sun and the food, but like. But why are you so confident in Sun Food Sovereign? Why are you so confident in Sun Food Sovereign? Why are you, when did you make the leap from just some guy in his kitchen to a little bit more of the story of how Sun Food Sovereign came to be as a brand. It's like your own personal brand. Like some people talk about brands, like you have a brand.
Mm-hmm.
You have your own personal brand. That's rare.
It has a lot to do with the sciences that I've been exposed to. And the phrase itself makes absolute sense in seeing that where I started and where I've been. Of course, I came into the whole health arena looking for alternatives to sickle cell. Now, through research, I found that the cellular condition is that directly related to a deficiency of what we call sun foods. You know, is now looking at myself being deficient of sun food, which is plants and herbs and things like that.
Why are they called sun foods?
They're coined sun foods because they are created by the sun. They're empowered. The sun gives life to the food. Anything that grows in the tree and from the ground and it receives its last nutrient to do what it does, it comes from the sun. Everything under the sun is food.
Do you believe that the sun, like the sun is trying to feed us? Like that there's like a, that there's like an antenna?
Not trying, it does.
I mean, the sun has the role of like of providing.
The sun has the role of giving life.
Okay.
The sun, you know, any aspect of history, you look through all religions, through all cults, through any ideology and philosophy, the sun is right there. You know, even the story of, you know, Christ and the sun, all that's prototypical to, you know, just the sun outside, you know, how it rises and it goes down and then how it provides life. And without the sun, there is no life, you know, so hence food, you know, the sun empowers the food that we are supposed to ingest as medicine. Now, sovereignty comes to the effect of we all have that from birth. You feel what I'm saying? We are born with a certain level of superiority over creation. You know, we are given a certain level of freedom and liberty to think and create and provide for ourselves. You know, and so when you put these two words together, you get the supremacy of food that is directly linked with the life giver, the sun, nature. So together you have the concept of living free up under the sun.
What do you think about the sun? Like, is it a mysterious object to you? Does it make sense?
No, the sun is like me, man. You know, my body is, you know, more. My body is a vessel for sunlight. you know, and without, you know, in the times when there is no sunlight, eating the foods that come from the sun is the only way to practically get sun into the body, you know, and which feeds the cells, you know, which provides everything else for the body to function. And so that's what makes me sovereign. You feel what I'm saying? You know, the time when, you know, everybody else is enslaved to, you know, materialism and GMOs and all this and that, you know, just the simple choice of choosing my independence through what I put into my body. That's what Kung Fu Sovereign is all about. And that's what it's trying to provide for everybody else. Everybody, if we all changed what we ate and ate more living things, we would all be free. And we would be free from poverty, we'd be free from disease, and we'd be free from ignorance. And the extent that the better we are at food choices, the wiser you become.
Because in transitioning over to a vegan economy, that also empowers people that are the types of people that would thrive in that economy. Right now, like somebody like yourself, you can't thrive in this environment because this environment is physically, economically, dietetically, spiritually, it's just not letting you thrive. Whereas, like, if you could thrive, your message and, like, and that which you have to say could reach more people and more people, and just like on a micro level, like, people love you. People appreciate your food. People appreciate everything that you're doing. But just because of like the economics of, or just because of the statistics of just whatever it is we're dealing with, you've had to deal with more. You had to deal with more. Like if you had
just been like a typical consumer of food, one, you might not have lived this long. You definitely wouldn't be this healthy. You'd probably be like me. You'd probably be as healthy as me if you'd have been a regular omnivore. And you might not have lived this long. But with you, you're staying in Cincinnati, which is also kind of strange, because you're staying in Cincinnati while you know that you could build, that you could save up, you could sell like 2 pounds of green and buy a ticket to Hawaii and be good, and you could leave it all behind. But you're not doing that. Like, you're staying behind, and you're just like, and you're it's not even you're staying behind. You're just kind of like, this is my home, better or worse. This is what I'm gonna be. And that's kind of what I think, like, a Sun Food Sovereign franchise person, that's like a mindset that person also needs to have.
Let's do this. Okay.